Welcome to the Inside College Soccer Podcast, bringing together some of the best college soccer-related people to your earbuds, from coaches to players and beyond. So, thank you for tuning in. The Inside College Soccer Podcast is brought to you by Sports Recruiting USA, the college soccer experts. Now, enjoy the show.
All right, everybody. Today I've got Nick Lemke. It's about time. I think that this is the first time we've had a nutritionist on. We've had Erica Sutter talking about conditioning and the physical piece, but this is the other physical piece of technical, tactical, physical, mental. This is the other physical piece that we haven't talked about a lot. And there's a lot of information out there that I thought are you all could benefit from. So welcome to the podcast, Nick.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Don.
So what's your official, like, what's your, are you a dietitian? What would you call yourself?
Yeah, so licensing wise, I am a registered dietitian. So I did do all the schooling and everything, but I started to use the sports nutritionist terminology because you guys prefer that phrasing versus dietitian. It doesn't sound so great. So I technically am licensed, but I started shifting my language a little bit there.
All right. No, yeah, that's fine. Look, food is fuel, right? I mean, a lot of us use food for other things. Makes us feel better. We use it as a soother. A comfort food, right? They have the term comfort food and all of that stuff. But at the end of the day, if you have a Ferrari and you're pouring kerosene into it, that engine's going to get gunked up. You got to have the right fuel for the right machine. And at the end of the day, you're an expert in that. And I appreciate you bringing that to our audience. How'd you get into this? What makes someone decide I want to be a dietitian, or I want to help people understand food better?
Yeah. So I feel like anybody that really joins, that gets into the nutrition program and becomes a dietitian, I think what really drives everybody is something either happened to them or somebody else that they know. So a lot of it's like, okay, they have type 1 diabetes, they're celiac, they have some sort of they had an eating disorder. On my side, it was the people around me. It was I had my dad battle through cancer multiple times, my aunt, and nutrition was never a piece of that puzzle. They never really addressed that with the recovery, and his was colon cancer. I'm like, that is your gut. That is 100%, you know, what you're putting in your body. But then also working at a gym in college, I was like, okay, well, like there's all these people, they're doing their training, they're doing their stuff in the gym, but they're not getting the results they want because their diet's the issue, their eating habits. And so, you know, there was that piece of it, but I also always knew that in some capacity, I wanted to work with student athlete or students in general, but like ideally, you know, student athletes. And so I just kind of meshed those two together to kind of become this.
Well, yeah, cool. Man, where do we even start? So, I mean, look, one of the things that I've realized, at least in my own life, is it's so weird for guys my age. So I turned 62 this year. And when I grew up, food was food. I mean, if it was at the grocery store, you bought it, you didn't think twice about it. I mean, literally the popularization of TV dinners, right? A true frozen packaged product that you throw into the thing was something that came about, you know, pretty much in the 50s and 60s. It became popular in the 60s. And so before that, I mean, people were cooking. People were taking whole ingredients and mixing them together and cooking. And it was never really an issue. I mean, you know, milk came from the dairy delivered to our doorstep, you know, type of thing. There was zero ultra processed foods, none. There was no microplastics and food dyes that are petroleum based products and all of that in our food. There was none of it. The talk about, you know, I remember in the 60s, DDT being talked about as a pesticide on for the first time. I mean, it was just coming about. And so this is kind of for a certain generation like mine. It's a fairly new idea of ultra processed foods, and we weren't paying attention. And so I know for us, for my wife and I, we've started to go back to the idea of no, don't buy that prepackaged frozen thing, and don't buy that canned stuff. Just make it from scratch yourself with the ingredients you know about. And I feel very hopeful for the future with, you know, RFK now, you know, getting in there and at least bringing all of this, whether you like his politics or not, I don't care. But the conversation has come into the mainstream of the media now, where we're talking about. I know that FDA just banned red dye number 7, I think it is. So one of the major dyes. I know there's a major yellow dye and red dye that are petroleum-based products that are in hard to avoid with all high processed foods, right? Ultra processed foods. So where do you see this going? Are you noticing a difference? And do you notice that when you bring these subjects up to your clients that it's being better, more well-received?
Like, I would say the nutrition in general is just becoming more of that, like, realization of, like, athletes, parents, coaches starting to recognize the need for it, just in general, of like having to factor it in to their lives. And especially when they're like, okay, well, like, we've done the training, we've done this, but there's still clearly something missing. And I think a lot of that comes, I think, more so with just the fact that nutrition is becoming such a big piece at the college and pro levels of sports. So, I mean, you look at pretty much all the pro teams at this point have full-time dietitians, and if they don't, they're about to. I know, like, there was even one that I was called for to interview for, and so in the college level, like, pretty much all the D1s, even some of the D2 and D3s have them, and it's, you know, it's one of those essential pieces of the puzzle, and so it is more recognized. I think on the processed food side, there's so many layers to that, and I think it's, we have to be, you know, there's balance there. We have to find balance, because, like, even when you mentioned, like, canned stuff, like, I do canned beans, but I don't really do a lot of other canned, or like canned, like, sardines and stuff like that. But, like, I'm not going to do necessarily canned vegetables. I'm going to go frozen veggies. And so there's some of those trade-offs where we do need some, because of our fast-paced society, we do need some layer of processing. But like you said, with the food dyes and some of those other things, that's where, you know, more, I like the term, again, the ultra process is a little bit more separated, because I mean, if you buy salad from the store, you buy spinach from the store, technically it's processed, technically it's been washed, rinsed, whatever, and that's still technically processed. But if you go, like, the ultra processed route, that's like, okay, that's the Takis, the Cheetos, the candy, you know, all those types of things that are a little more clear cut. And I think that once you expose them to that idea, they're like, oh, and they start thinking differently, especially when you can connect food to results in their sport. I think that's where they start to turn those light bulbs on.
Yeah, you know, I become a label reader, right? So, I mean, there's certain things that I'm looking for, and you tell them, give me your thoughts on this, but, you know, the seed oils. And it's not necessarily, from what I understand, the oil in and of itself, it's how they process these seed oils. So I'm looking to hold those out, and corn syrups, right? And then, like I say, the dyes, you know, and you see some of these labels and these chemicals that they are using to preserve the foods. You know, I don't know what effect it has on my body. My wife and I kind of have a saying now. It's like, I don't know if it's bad for you, but it can't be good for you. Right. And so we're trying to put our things into our bodies now that are good for us. And so then I don't have to figure out if it's bad for me or not, if it's just stuff that's good for me. But I have noticed with, like, seed oils, how incredibly difficult it is to avoid seed oils, right? To find things with, you know, like, pick up bags of potato chips, right? If you want some potato chips, I would believe everything in moderation, eating 5 or 6 or 7 potato chips with your, you know, sandwich, with your lunch, whatever, if you like that crunch and that flavor, is one thing. Eating an entire bag of something in a sitting is bad, right? No matter what it is. But to find potato chips that are cooked in avocado oil, right? As opposed to vegetable oils, canola oils, peanut oils, things like that. Sunflower oils, you know, things like that. So how do you deal with that with your clients, especially when they're on the road and they don't know what's going into the cooking sometimes of the foods on the road?
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to manage. And I, you know, my approach is I'm more focused on adding things than subtracting. So, you know, you naturally start adding in, like you said, the olive oil, avocado oils, you start adding those in as more of your normal things that you do at home. You know, that occasional bit outside isn't going to hurt too much. The issue that runs into is if you're going, you know, eating out and you're going for the fried foods on top of that, because then, you know, you're actually sacrificing performance in that moment, you know, in those travel, whether it be a tournament or whatever, with the fast food in general. But if you're, you know, it's hard to say if a Chipotle or a Panda Express in their grilled chicken, if they have, say, those oils, but, you know, at least you're choosing the best option available or some of the best options available. And so that's where I really try to lean towards is like, what are those best options that you have? Because I mean, even in small towns, they especially don't have access to a lot of variety, even maybe a Chipotle they don't have. So I think, you know, my approach is more so the adding, even if you talk about soda or again, the chips, like some of my clients, when they first start working with me, they're doing soda as their pre-workout, or they're, you know, they're eating the chips just by, because that's what they're snacking on. But I think the underlying problem is that these athletes are chronically under eating, and that's what's leading to them gravitating towards these foods. There's also the accessibility. You're making it so accessible in the vending machines and at home. But even some of the athletes I'm working with now, we start adding in breakfast, we start adding in a proper pre-workout, post-workout, and they're naturally not munching at night on the chips, or they're naturally not going for the chips, the soda, because they're not craving those things anymore. Number one, they're building new habits, but number two, they're actually getting the fuel that they need. And that's where a lot of them suffer, is because they're just flat out not eating enough, especially soccer players. That's a big, but I think a lot of athletes, they really do under eat, and that's what leads to them gravitating towards those foods.
Yeah, it is crazy. The under eating things, you know, I mean, it's my first big eye opener to the fact that an athlete could be under eating is I was reading one of Lance Armstrong's book. I think it was like, It's Not About the Bike. And he's talking about that when he's training and leading up to an event, he will take in 20,000 calories a day. He was talking about eating 3 and 4 chickens a day. Whole chickens, and now, you know, eating a dozen eggs, things like that, 20,000 calories. And people go, well, average person should take in 2,000 calories. Yeah. If you have an office job and you're just, you know, walking to the car and, you know, putting in your 5,000 steps a day. And that's about, you know, I think a male is like close to that. And a female is like 1600, just breathing, just existing, just your heart beating, you know? Mm-hmm. And if you're going to the gym a little bit, and then if you're working out though, and you're trying to prepare for a sport and you're only taking in 2000 calories a day, there's just no way your body is getting the fuel that it needs to operate. Mm-hmm. You're watering down the gasoline in the tank, you know, and sure, maybe it still works, but again, the engine's not going to optimize at all.
Yeah. Yeah.
So how do you fix that? Like, so what do you tip? Okay. So typical life of a college athlete for those, and a lot of our audience isn't in college yet. The kids aren't in college yet. And the parents aren't in college yet. A lot of people that listen to it, you know, typical life of a college athlete, they, you know, might get up at 5 o'clock, 3 days a week, and they're in the gym. And they're lifting weights. And a lot of guys would show up in the gym at 5:30, 6 o'clock, and they hadn't eaten yet. They just show up to the gym. They just roll out of bed as late as possible and run down to the gym. And then they've got class at 8. So how much time is there between 7 and 8 or 7:30 and 8? Not a lot of time. Got a half an hour maybe to get something in you, right? And then they're in class till noon, and then get a lunch break, and you've got maybe an hour to eat before practice at 1. And then you train till 3. And then maybe back for a quick shower. And then maybe you've got classes at 4 and 5, and then you've got dinner, but then maybe you've got another class at 7, and then you've got to study at night. And then you get up and you repeat all over again. And pretty soon, before you know it, you know, the day's over with. And like, they're just grabbing whatever they can grab in between, you know, going to quick Subway is lunch every day, you know, a quick processed sandwich, you know, you know, and I, you know, eating bowls of cereal, you know, grabbing that box of cereal. It's quick. Throw the milk in, chow down on that cereal. But there's no thought to it. It's just filling the I'm hungry void. So how do they break that cycle? An athlete that's got a crazy schedule like that. Yeah. What's your first bit of advice?
No, I mean, number one, this is why I think it's so important. And one of the reasons why I tend to put more of my emphasis into the high school athlete is because that is the time for them to get into these routines. That is like one of the best times that they can develop these habits while they're still at home. They still are being provided the resources. So they're learning those key pieces. It's like one of my freshmen, or I started working with him at the end of his freshman year, and he was not, you know, if his mom didn't cook breakfast, he would gravitate towards the cereal. And that was his thing. And now as a junior, he is making his breakfast and his younger sister, like a couple years younger sister's breakfast at the same time. And it's just like part of his habits. And so I think that's number one is building the habits, building the routines, the foundations there, because then you recognize number one, how important it is, because you see the difference, you feel the difference. But then the other piece is just, you know, there's a season for everything. So yeah, if you're going into college, you're going into a schedule where you are waking up at, you know, 5 a.m. to work out at 5:30, then it's okay. We've got to, number one, figure out those are the times where we do need to do some of those quick and easy options. So for, you know, it could be, in some cases, it might be the cereal in the pre-workout phase, not the post-workout phase. Pre-workout might be a Honey Nut Cheerios or a Life or one of those where you still get some whole grains, but you get some of that quick energy too. Some of the ones that I like, I tend to go more for like banana or orange plus toast with some peanut butter or toast with some jelly, maybe half a bagel. You know, you kind of figure out what works best for you. Some of the athletes, they want something even lighter than that. So, you know, maybe it is just the fruit. Maybe it is just some juice or some sort of a liquid form of it. One thing that I like, runners use this. You can't really see it on my shelf, but it's like the top corner of the shelf. But Scratch Labs, they have a super high carb mix. And so you can drink 8 ounces and it's, you know, you can make it 45 grams of carbs, which is like 3 slices of bread, or you can make it like 100 grams of carbs, which is like, that's a lot of slices of bread. But it's not straight sugar. It's basically, it's called glycerodextrin, and it slowly breaks off into your body over time. So it's a more slow digesting carb, but it doesn't upset your stomach, like as if you were to eat like bran cereal right before you run. Or you
show us what that is real quick. Just if you can just grab it and just kind of show us what we're talking about.
So yeah, this guy. So super high carb mix. But yeah, it's, they do electrolytes, they do the sports stuff, but it's, I mean, even in the serving size that they give you is 100 grams of carbs and only 11 grams of that is sugar. But with my athletes, I only have them do, so that's 7 scoops. I usually only have them do 3 scoops.
So this is just scooping a water and shake it and down it?
Exactly. It's just like the electrolyte powders, like a liquid IV or something, but it's more focused on the carbs versus compared to the electrolytes. It has a little bit of like
pre-workout or post-workout you're talking?
Pre-workout.
Somebody who's in a hurry in the morning, got to get something in them. That's and is always short on time, that would be one of the options.
Yeah, because it's just liquid, you know, it's an easy liquid thing. If you don't need the liquid option, if you can handle, like I said, you know, some fruit and some, maybe a slice of toast or something, then I would go more that route, because then you get, you know, either way, you're getting some quick sugars and you're getting more of the slow digesting, which is going to basically be used later into those workouts. But definitely, you know, get something in. And if you haven't been doing it, you're already working out at that time and you haven't been doing it, then start again, something small, whether it be a sports drink, you know, applesauce, just get some sort of carbs. You start feeling that, you start noticing, wow, I have more energy. And then your body also starts to get used to adding a little bit more to your gut. But then the other piece is, you know, going beyond that. So yes, that covers pre, but then also we really need to address, like, what are the things that either you can have prepared if you have a, you know, again, if you have a kitchen, if you have that resource. So again, the high school athletes too is, you know, maybe you don't have time to make breakfast every morning, but you could do something where you make it on the weekends or you make it the night before. And so, you know, the ones I always recommend, and every athlete's going to appeal to different things. Breakfast burritos are a really easy one to make that you can make for the whole week. You could do Greek yogurt parfaits. Some of my athletes end up go that route, or Greek yogurt smoothies. And again, you're really, the key here is the protein, the carbs, getting some fats in there. If you're not working out or if it's post-workout, and then some color, because the color is going to help with the recovery, the fruits, the veggies. But then the other option, so you got burritos, the yogurt based things, or you could do like an overnight oats. And you could either eat that, you could heat it up, or you could eat it cold. I would say in either option though, just trying to add some sort of protein to that. So if you're eating it cold, the Greek yogurt's a great option. If you're eating it hot, maybe you mix some eggs or egg whites in there, something like that, so that either way you've got some form of protein to that.
Well, I'd never thought about adding eggs to that.
To
That's
oats.
interesting. To the oats, yeah. No, one of the things that I always gave to our kids, I said, look, it literally is a four-minute breakfast. If you just crack the eggs into the pan and just smash them with the burrito, with the tortilla rather. Then they'll cook, and then you can just fold that up and go. I mean, it takes 3-4 minutes. And what I always had them do is just like throw, whatever meat you want in there. If you can pre-cook your sausages or your bacon or your hamburger, whatever you want, you just kind of pre-cook that. You can throw it in. That way it doesn't have to cook. But and then you just throw like a handful of spinach on there. Just throw that in there and then wrap that up because it's fast and easy, and you can grab that on the go and then head out the door and just do the dishes later if you're in that big of a hurry. But it's a it, there really is no excuse. Like if you can pour the cereal and you can pour the milk and you could sit down and eat that in the same amount of time, you could take one of the options that you're talking about and have that too.
Yeah, and I mean you can do it the night before. I think the burritos, like I've had athletes who, like I said, like they'll make their 5 burritos for the whole week, and it's laid out. Then all you got to do is heat it up each morning, and you eat it on the way.
I like that.
Yeah, especially because I know a lot of the athletes don't like waking up, super early. They don't want to wake up earlier. But I want to stress too is, I mean, any habit, anything's going to be hard at first. And so, maybe you work on, hey, I'm going to wake up 10 minutes earlier. I'm going to wake up 5 minutes earlier even, and just slowly adjust to that. I think is a big piece. So yeah, and then it's the same thing with the rest of the day is having snacks ready in your bag, whether it be a Clif bar, whether it be, some fruit. Again, the yogurt option, if you haven't done it at breakfast, you could do yogurt with fruit. I mean, even the other day, so last week I spoke to a team and I was basically going to be busy the entire day. And so I had my breakfast. I made a yogurt parfait while that was cooking. I made a protein smoothie while that was, I did all these things while the eggs were cooking. And so I had enough food from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. All within maybe 20 minutes.
Wow.
And I might have had like I forget what else. I might have had like a couple other small things in there too. But yeah, I basically just laid everything out all in there. And I mean, again, if you have access to a cafeteria, things like that, then again, some of those meals might be covered too.
All right, so some schools, colleges don't have cooking facilities. My son lived in a box, in a 12 by 12 box with his roommate, and that's all there was. They weren't allowed even to have a hot plate. So what kind of things can they store as snacks? Like, I don't know, for example, like nuts or beef jerky or things like that. What kind of ideas do you have for the athlete who just needs to be able to grab snacks throughout the day to keep themselves going, but are still nutritious and healthy and gonna help fuel them?
Yeah, so I mean, like you just said, the nuts, the trail mixes, those are going to be good for just one of those things that can just get you more calories, get you some protein, just help you feel fuller, kind of bridge some of those gaps. I like the Clif bars, especially for those endurance athletes, because I mean, they're meant for hikers. So if they're meant for hikers who burn a ton of calories, you soccer players also burn a ton of calories. So it's one of those things, and you can have it say an hour-ish before a workout, and you can, essentially use those carbs for that energy. I like RX bars, True bars. They're a little bit, tad bit more protein, a little bit less carbs. So if you just need like something a little bit more balanced there, I mean, a lot of fruits are pretty shelf stable, bananas, apples, things like that. Peanut butter, you can combine it with the peanut butter. Let's see. I know I have more. If you need quick energy options, so literally like just pre-workout, you need some quick energy. I really like Fruit Leather or like the pure organic fruit bars that you get at Costco. They're a nice little quick energy. Same with the applesauce. You do it like say 20-ish minutes before. Let's see. I mean, even with sandwiches, like a lot of the sandwich stuff is essentially shelf stable in a sense. And then you maybe just need like a mini fridge to fit some of those things in there.
Right. I think that's it. Those are good ideas. When they're looking at products, you name some specific products, but maybe there are other products. I'm sure there are other products out there too. Are there, when they're looking at nutrition labels, are there certain things that you should, that are red flags? Like, oh, stay away from that. If there are certain ingredients where you know, oh, now that's really just a glorified candy bar.
So I would say, like, nutrition wise, if you think about, you know, like sugar to protein wise. So unless you're using it as your pre-workout fuel, like the fruit leathers and apple sauces, you know, if it's just a snack for you, you should be getting some solid source of protein, which that protein should be more than the sugar. So for example, Greek yogurt, a lot of flavored Greek yogurts, you know, you might have some that have more sugar than the protein, and that's a red flag. We want to kind of lower that. If we can go without the sugar altogether, that's even better. And then you can add something else to it. I would say, like, you know, you mentioned earlier the food dyes. That's definitely one where I really don't recommend the food dyes in general. You know, when they have anything that has a warning label in Europe, I'm like, yeah, we should probably make note of those.
Okay.
So all not right. Just the red number 3 or whichever one it is that's being banned, but like red 40 is a big one, yellow 5 and 6, like things like that. And some of the other ones we don't have as much research on, like the blue and whatnot. But yeah, I think the big thing is try to lean more towards the products that have, they may have sugar, but it's more natural sugars, like applesauce, again, back to the fruit leathers. And then I can even address this on the frozen meals / fast food route, if you want me to hit on that too.
Sure.
So really good rule of thumb, if you want to have a balanced meal, say at Chipotle, at Panda Express, or you're buying, like, say, some sort of frozen meal, is look for ones that the protein is at least double the amount of fat. So if it says 5 grams of fat, you want at least 10 grams of protein. I mean, you want more than, you want 20 grams of protein, but basically the idea is you want to at least double that, because number one, it's showing it's more of a leaner option. So you're going to see more grilled chicken, those types of things. But then, I mean, by happen chance, you're going to be cutting out some of those unnecessary oils and some of those unnecessary things that, like, again, more of the fried stuff and whatnot. Now, avocado, guac, yes, that's probably going to add up to your fats, but they're going to be more healthier fats to help with recovery. But really, that good rule of thumb is double your fat with your protein. So make sure you're at least getting 20, 25, maybe more grams of protein. But then that fat's lower there. And then, as I mentioned before, with any meal, really do what you can to get a protein, a carbohydrate. Again, you guys are burning tons of energy, so you guys need those carbohydrates. And then get some color in there for the recovery. And then in some way, you're going to get some sort of fat in there, whether it be avocado, fish, or just some fats with the cooking oils and stuff.
All right. So quick summary, half the fats of the proteins, and then it's anything that has more sugar than protein.
Unless you're using it for fuel for the workout. If it's a snack, that's where, yeah. Because, I mean, again, applesauce, we don't want to have 20 grams of protein when we're about to go, you know, do conditioning. Like, we need the carbohydrates if we're about to do conditioning. So that's where those tend to fit more into play.
Got it. Okay. So the other controversy sort of is, I see athletes drinking like Gatorade and Red Bull. Those are the two that, like, all day. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm thirsty, get a Gatorade. I'm thirsty, drink a Red Bull. All day long. What are your, I always told my kid, I told my kids, look, just look at the amount of sugar in a Gatorade and then compare that to a can of Coke. And you'll see that there's more sugar in a bottle of Gatorade than there is in a can of Coke. It depends on the size of the bottle, but I'm talking about, you know, the size that we normally see kids use. But, you know, I always told him, like, it's not meant for that. It's not meant for Gatorade. It's not meant for all day drinking every day, 4 or 5 bottles a day. It isn't what it was designed for. Right. And even the during the games, you know, we started to get our kids to switch over to Pedialyte. I don't know how you feel about that, because it had less sugar in it. Than the Gatorade did, and seemed to respond well with our kids' body. So what are your thoughts on the Red Bull and the Gatorade?
Yeah, so first off, I want to, go back to, just like with the carbs, just like with the chips and the candies, a lot of times the reason we're going for the Gatorade or the Red Bulls or any of those drinks is there's two underlying issues. Number one, they're just not hydrating enough. They're not drinking enough water at baseline. And so when we're dehydrated, we naturally gravitate towards whatever is going to feel the best. And it's usually going to be something sweet and liquid. So, the Gatorades, the sodas, any of those things. And so I think, number one, we've got to fix that water issue. And I mean, same again with the soccer players. You guys are sweating a ton. You guys are losing a lot of body water and you need to replenish that. And so make sure that, I always recommend my athletes, the very first thing they do when they wake up is drink water. You get out of bed, you have your water right there and you drink it. You start with 12, 16 ounces. That right there is going to already get you ahead in the day, and then you just continue drinking from there. So that naturally is going to help reduce some of the extras. The soda versus the Gatorade. So I, back to the ingredients thing. There are also things in the sodas that, like sodas have been shown to not be good for our bones. So if we don't want to get more fractures, then we should probably cut out the soda. And soda is one of the very, very few things that. Probably the only thing that I say we should never ever eat or drink. It's one of those that I don't think has a place in our diet at all. And I'm a balanced person, so that's saying something. But
Wow, yeah.
yeah, but it's one of those where I really am not, just because it's more than just the sugar. Yes, there's crazy amounts of sugar in it, but it's also what does it do to our guts? What does it do to our bones? It causes a lot more disruption than just, sugar. The Red Bull option too, the other thing with that is if we're not getting enough sleep, then we're basically trading that bad sleep, and we're like, okay, we're gonna treat that with caffeine. That's what we're doing with the Red Bulls,
Right.
and so we're like, oh, we're low energy, we or the fuel itself, the carbs, back to the carbs. If you're not eating enough carbs and you're tired from just not eating enough, then yeah, you're gonna think caffeine's gonna fix it when it's really not. Like, you might feel a little bit better, but after the second or third Red Bull, it really doesn't make that much of a difference. Like, you notice, and you're going to make more mistakes when you drink that much caffeine. Like, you get so jittery at that point, and you get so like, ooh, like your body, and you start making mistakes. You can't focus. And so, but it's back to either the caffeine, the reliance on caffeine either comes from a lack of sleep or a lack of hydration or a lack of carbohydrates. Now to the Gatorade specifically. So I like to put kind of rankings here. So, you've got Prime, you've got Body Armor, they don't have sodium. So if you're sweating a lot, you're losing a ton of sodium. So if you're trying to go for Prime or Body Armor during a workout, that's not really hydrating you the same way as the Gatorade or Powerade. So yes, they may have lower sugar, but they're not, you really need that sodium. I mean, that's the main electrolyte you lose in sweat. So I don't even consider those sports drinks that we should be drinking during workouts. Those, yes, we need the potassium, not is sideline. But I put them in more tiers of quality level with the sports drinks. So I put Gatorade, Powerade, and Pedialyte all in the same section, and it goes back to the food dyes, because they all have them. And so I'm really not a big fan of any of the sports drinks that have the food dyes, because again, it can affect attention. There are some connections to cancer with some of them, hence why we're banning the red number three. And so yeah, I tend to put those at the bottom. The sugar piece, part of it too, back to carbohydrates, a lot of them are not getting enough carbs, and that's where, again, a lot of that feels a lot better. Number one, if we can fix the issue of making sure we're eating enough and getting the pre-workout fuel, eating the breakfast consistently, then we probably won't need as much of that sugar during the workout. But again, we still burn anywhere from 45, 60 plus grams of sugar, of carbs, every, hour of working out. So, we're burning a decent amount. And soccer players, you guys are running a lot. So I see a place for carbs and for sugar, but it's, again, a lot of times we use it instead of just proper fuel. And so that's where I go, when it comes to better electrolyte drinks, I like Scratch Labs, Liquid IV. Those are better for the quality aspect of it. They have less of the other stuff in them, like the food dyes. If you want something with lower sugar, Drip Drops are really good option too. And they also have a little bit more of like the magnesium and some of the other electrolytes there. I've seen them at UW, University of Washington. They use Gatorade and they have the drip drop for those athletes who want, you know, more higher level sports drinks.
So a number of years ago, I'm at the US Training Center and they have refrigerators there with all these different options for their athletes. They come in and they grab, and one of the things that was chocolate milk. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about chocolate milk. Why chocolate milk, and where does that come into the post-game, post-workout routine?
Yeah, so post-workout, we really need to focus on protein and carbohydrates and replenishment of the electrolytes. And so chocolate milk basically checks off all the boxes of, hey, it's got protein in there. The Dairy Gold Fit or the Fairlife even has more protein. It's got the carbohydrates, both some of the slow digesting carbs that we need, but also some of those quick sugars to get into the muscle that we just like drained it. But then it also has the potassium, the sodium, it has some of those other electrolytes and the calcium that help with that recovery process. And so it's actually, there's been a decent amount of research. Even the school I went to, Central Washington, they have, they've done a lot of research around chocolate milk being a really good post-workout recovery. And so, yeah, those are really the big pieces. Is it fits all those things versus a sports drink where it's like, okay, you get carbs and you get electrolytes, but where's the protein? Or you drink a protein shake and it's like, where's the carbs? You know, like I see so many athletes are like, I drink a Core Power or I drink a Fairlife. And I'm like, okay, but your gas tank is empty. You know, you need to refill that gas tank up. And that's, you know, really important as well. So.
All right. So that's it wasn't a fad. That's actually a legitimate option. Chocolate milk that athletes can. What about supplements? So a lot of talk about supplements. I know I've noticed, cause I go to the gym 5 days a week and I lift, and always, you know, I like getting sore because it lets me know that I'm pushing myself, but I don't like, you know, if I'm doing chest, I don't like being sore for 3 days. You know, I want to move on from that. And one of the things that I noticed when I started taking creatine is that my soreness drops. So I take 5 milligrams of creatine in my shake. I put it in my AG1 and I down that every day. And I noticed that my soreness was greatly decreased with the creatine. So what about the creatine? And then what about like things like Athletic Greens and AG1 and that type of a, you know, vitamin supplement? I've kind of replaced my vitamin with that because it's got other stuff in it too, mm-hmm. that felt like it was probably good for me. So what do you think about supplements?
Yeah. So I always preface it with, you can't out supplement a bad diet. And so, you know, if you're not eating enough, the creatine doesn't matter. If you're not sleeping enough, the pre-workout, the caffeine doesn't really, you know, it's not ultimately going to help you. And a lot of times it's going to be on the flip side. It's going to end up hurting you because then you can't sleep after the caffeine. But yeah, it's a lot of those things where a lot of times we use it, just like with medications nowadays, we use it as a band-aid rather than actually treating the underlying issue. And so, you know, yes, once you figure out the diet, you know, it's just like some of my athletes I work with, I'm like, once we get you in a good system, then we can talk about supplements. So, you know, I was working with an athlete after 2 months of working together, I didn't add in the creatine for him because he was really struggling with just eating consistently, like eating what he should be and doing it consistently. So I was like, you need to show me you can do that before we start throwing in the supplements. And so creatine is one of the most well-researched supplements for athletes. And you know, regardless of the sport, I even just interviewed a soccer dietitian on my podcast. She's a Houston Dynamo, their lead dietitian. And I asked her, I was like, what's one of the top supplements you recommend, the number one you'd recommend for athletes? And she said creatine. And even as a soccer dietitian, and there's a piece of that recovery aspect. There's also, when we think about explosiveness, whether that be strength explosiveness, like, you know, lifting, or you think speed, you know, it has a factor in just more of that short explosive type movements, that it has a role in basically giving us more capacity in those situations. And so there's that piece of it. There's also elements where for brain health, for memory and things like that, which is more relevant to the aging population or somebody who has an issue that has caused a drop of creatine. So somebody gets a concussion, they actually have a drop in creatine in the brain. And so that's actually something where we're doing research right now to be like, hey, this is one of those potential treatments for concussions to improve symptoms. Omega-3s are high on that list. Actually, again, just interviewed somebody from my podcast and she talked about the omega-3s, vitamin D, which are the two I'm also big on. There's a lot of on it. It took us 30 minutes to unpack just those two. So, I mean, that's a whole another conversation. And it's, you know, making sure you're taking quality supplements. That's really important is, you know, you may be taking omega-3s, but are they rancid or are they, you know, does it say it has 1,000 or 2,000 milligrams when really it has 500? Or, you know, the creatine, is it just the creatine that's in there? Or is there maybe some lead or rice or some other things that happen to get sure. in there on purpose or sure. accident? So that's where always getting things third party tested by NSF or Informed Sport is huge. With the AG1, they're, I honestly go back and forth on this because number one, a lot of times it becomes this thing where we replace our intake of greens for the AG1. And I know Huberman's big on AG1. He advertises all the things for it. But I still am not convinced by it because part of the challenge with a lot of these things, like the green supplements, is how much of that has actually retained the nutrients in there. You know, we talk about even with food that there's concerns that say with greens or with certain things that some of the nutrition has been lost through processing, through whatever. And so when we think about powders, you know, especially we don't know truly like how much of magnesium, how much, you know, of these vitamins, minerals that are actually still in there. And so that's where, yes, it may be like a little cherry on top blanket type of thing, but it may not cover us as fully. And so that's where I tend to be more focused on, hey, how can we treat the specific issues? Like if you're not eating any fish at all, omega-3s. If you live in the Pacific Northwest, or frankly, if many people are not getting enough vitamin D, I mean, you're wearing long sleeves right now. Like even if you were out in the sunlight, you wouldn't really be absorbing vitamin D. And so there's a lot of those things where, you know, if we can do more of the targeted supplementing, I think is more important than just like these blanket ones.
And it's harder in the winter too, isn't it? And I've been supplementing D3 plus K2 and drops that take like 5,000 milligrams a day and that. But yeah, and as much as possible when I'm outside, I'll take off my shirt, right? And I'll make sure it's getting on my arms and all of that. But it's harder in the winter. And if you live up north, it's going to be harder to get that sunlight, even if you're outside without a shirt. It's freaking cold or it's cloudy. Or if you live in the Pacific Northwest, it's rainy a lot. You know, you're not getting that direct sunlight. So yeah, it can be hard. And I think maybe that it's what, if I hear what you're saying is that supplements have their place, but it doesn't replace getting your nutrients from whole foods.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's again that cherry on top is I think the best way to explain supplements. It's a complement. It's not a replacement. Yeah.
Yeah, that's all solid. That's all really good advice. Nighttime. So we've gone through our day. We've kind of talked about what kind of people that like to have maybe dessert or something like that. Are there some healthy options? And then how late should we be eating or not eating before we go to bed?
So really tricky as an athlete, because I know a lot of the high school youth in general, soccer tends to be later at night. You know, some of those practices are not done until 9 o'clock at night or whatever. And so it's, as much as I don't recommend, you know, but it's unavoidable. I mean, we've got school, we've got things, so practices are going to have to be late. And so I never recommend an athlete not eat at all post-workout. So I really want to make sure you guys are getting something in. But it doesn't have to be this crazy big meal. Like, you know, let's aim for around the 20 grams of protein, and then let's double or triple that in carbohydrates. But let's focus on the carbohydrates that are not going to make you wired. You know, if you go and you drink that, I mean, potentially that chocolate milk, like that chocolate milk may not be the best option at 9:30, 10 o'clock at night. It's more applicable for like earlier in the day. And so it's those things that you think about when you have sugar, you're more wired. And so if you have that, that's going to be really hard to fall asleep. And so that's where I tend to lean more towards, you know, again, more of the slow digesting carbs. So, you know, this is where I tend to try to get my athletes to do more of their sandwiches. You know, if they're in that situation, do it more post-workout, the Greek yogurt with the fruit, chicken and rice, you know, easy things that, you know, if you're the one driving, then yeah, maybe you can't eat that while you're driving. But if you're, you know, backseat driving home, you know, that's something where you could chow down on one of those meals, have it just like packaged already. The protein smoothies work really well here, like, you know, Greek yogurt. You get the carbs from the fruits and stuff. The dessert piece of it, you know, and this is one of those things where, you know, yes, you can have dessert. I think you just have to be, again, careful about if you're doing it late at night, you know, depending on the dessert, you may have trouble falling asleep. And so being careful about, like, you know, what you're doing for those desserts. If it's just straight sugar, then yeah, you're probably going to feel a little wired. If it's something that's super heavy in fat, you know, and then you try to lay down right after you eat that, you know, your body might not feel too great. So think about, like, hey, how do you feel laying down after that? And if it's making it hard for you to fall asleep or stay asleep, or if it's upsetting your stomach, then those are probably not things you should be doing. And every athlete's different, but that's where I think if you can tap more into making, again, the smoothies, I love doing smoothies as one of my last, like, meals, snacks, whatever, because it's refreshing. And, you know, you can make it so many different ways. You could make it more peanut butter chocolate flavored and still get the fruit in there. You know, you could make it like a strawberry banana smoothie flavor. You know, there's so many different ways you can make it, still make it enjoyable, but it also is helping you in that recovery process and helping you kind of mellow down at night. So that's kind of my...
like chocolate peanut butter. Where does chocolate fall into the, you know, I've heard doctors talk about, yeah, if chocolate was discovered today, you know, it would probably be a medication, you know, that there's chocolate that there's good qualities of chocolate that are good for you. And are there good chocolates and bad chocolates? And when you say chocolate, what kind of chocolate are you talking about?
Yeah. So what, to preface that, there, you know, chocolate in its original form, which is cocoa, not with the two O's, but with two A's. So it's
cacao.
Cacao. Some people pronounce it cocoa.
Right.
That is the most, like, well, the bean is the most raw form, but then from the bean, there's the powder. That's that type of powder. And basically the difference is, you know, the nutrient itself, the cacao has a ton of nutrition. It helps with reducing inflammation, helps with oxygen availability. So when you think about, you know, you're, you know, running for an hour straight, it's going to allow you to do the same amount of work for less effort. You know, and so it's going to give you more capacity. Now, we do need a decent amount of it for it to really benefit, but it's, you know, there's so many different things that it can benefit. And so I lean towards more of that form. And when you put in a smoothie, you have the fruit, you have all the other things, you're not going to notice the difference between that and, you know, cocoa, like the other cocoa, because it's, you have all these other sweeteners. You know, the main difference between that and the cocoa is, number one, the cocoa is cooked at a really hot temperature, and so it kills a lot of those good nutrients. Yeah, that's the big piece there. But then the other piece is, then we just add sugar to it. But if we use that raw form of it and we just put it in with the fruits and, you know, maybe some honey or whatever we have in that smoothie, it's just going to taste like chocolate at that point. And then you add the peanut butter, then it's like, hey, chocolate peanut butter, it works, you know, because I know a lot of people love their chocolate peanut butter.
So we talk about sugars, right? Honey is actually a sugar, right? Or it's got, right? And then we've got refined sugar, and then you've got brown sugar, and you've got all these different types of sugars. Are there good sugars and bad sugars?
So that's a whole can of worms, honestly. And it's heavily, heavily debated. You know, I have dietitians who are like, sugar is sugar, and other dietitians who are like more in that quality route of like, hey, honey's more natural. But the thing with honey is, there's actually other nutrients, other benefits to it, rather than just the carbohydrates, the sugars that are in it. And so that's where I kind of like more of the honey or more of those types of things. There's also debates on, like, when we process the sugar, like, what all is going into that, or what happens when we're processing that sugar. At the end of the day, though, like, sugar is, in a sense, sugar, where they're all going to give you some form of energy. For the person who's trying to be healthy, they're all going to potentially raise your blood sugars or things like that. But it's, you know, I would still put honey in a better quality category. Back to the electrolyte drinks, like, it's the same thing of, like, yes, it's going to be better quality. It's still going to impact your energy levels and your sugars and your energy spikes, like, the same, pretty much the same way. It's just, again, that quality aspect of, like, what level do you want to take that?
Yeah, no, I mean, the first time I heard about it was from an African player, but at halftime, he would go in and grab a tablespoon of honey and suck on that while he was listening to the halftime talk. And that was the first time that I had ever seen that or heard about it. But I've become a big fan of honey just because I use a local raw honey and truly local. And I've noticed that for me, my like I'm not allergic to anything. I don't get allergies. And I've been told it's because I'm beating the pollens, the local pollens, mm-hmm. ingesting those. And that's why it's going into my body. And that was one of the reasons why I started to it. So I'm like about a tablespoon a day. Sometimes if I'm drinking tea, half a tablespoon, but you know, usually a tablespoon a day of raw honey, local honey. But I don't know. It seems to have helped me a little bit. And I've definitely replaced my white refined sugar consumption has gone down. I'll just use honey to sweeten something instead of that sugar. So that's it's a good thought. It's a good thought.
Yeah, and it's something where it's as an athlete, like there, I mean, I think that's one important differential too, is we have to look at the athlete versus the standard American is like, okay, there are going to be things they do need more carbs, they do need more sugar. And so we're going to have to fuel that in some way. And so sometimes we do have to use some of the added sugars, but again, I mean, number one, they're burning a lot of that, but at the same time, part of my approach too is what are the habits that we're developing? So if our habits that we're developing is gummy worms as that sugar all the time, then yeah, that's going to be a problem, especially when they're done with that sport. But if we make those routines of, hey, we're doing this pre-workout meal, and then we're going for, you know, the applesauce, the fruit options, the honey as those quick sugars, you know, then it starts developing those more longer term habits that can be a lot more sustainable.
I like it. I like it. Well, I think we've at least given our listeners an idea how to get through a day. And I think that's a really, really just solid advice. Nick, if people are trying to get a hold of you, how do they do that? How do they get a hold of you?
Yeah. So one quick thing too, I want to say is like, I know that nutrition can be a very overwhelming thing. And so if you guys are going to change anything about your lifestyle to improve your performance, breakfast, pre and post workout. If you can fix those three things, which are all three things we talked about today, within that, fix those three things, and you're going to see a dramatic change in how you perform, how your energy is, how much stronger you get, all those types of things. So, you know, if you're going to take anything from today, fix those three things. Then we can address all the other things like the ingredients and all those other things, but fix those three, and those are going to make a huge difference for you. So in terms of connecting with me, Nick Lemke, RD, is going to be Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, TikTok, YouTube, like literally all the socials. Yeah, I even got on TikTok now. And yeah, you can find me on there. You can also shoot me a text at my business number. It's 253-470-2423. But yeah, I mean, feel free to reach out if you have questions, anything like that, coach, athlete, you know, whoever's there.
That's brilliant, Nick. Thanks for coming on, man. Thanks for sharing with us. And yeah, we may have some more questions come up, and we'll do this again.
Yeah, for sure. That sounds great. Thank you.